Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But I think just having that initial, here's a camera, I think you could do this, was huge, because that was a massive financial investment. And photography isn't a cheap habit to have if it's just a hobby. So I think that was his kind of his seal of approval, and that it helped me no end.
Photography is about the relationships you form and the people you meet along the way. When the guy Chloe Brown was dating bought her a digital camera, not only did she form a relationship with photography, but she also formed a long-lasting bond with that man. I'm Matt Bowen, this is Phototypes.
It's Matt freaking Bowen.
Oh my God!
Well, when you don't want to go and do your day job on a Monday morning because you'd rather stay home and edit the wedding you just shot, then it's a clear sign that you're doing the wrong job. Thankfully, Chloe Brown took the plunge and now can't wait to go to work creating beautiful pieces of art. As always on Phototypes, I started out by asking her to describe where she was right now.
I'm in my home office in North London. It's relatively tidy. The parts that you can see on your Skype video are quite tidy. The rest is a stack of magazines and prints and all sorts of things to send out. That's about it.
You said it's quite tidy. I've started to ask a lot of people now how they work and whether they work tidily or whether they can work in a mess. What are you like?
I like to start off with everything tidy in the morning. It's always best intentions. I write my to-do list the night before, and then throughout the day I tend to drag everything out of drawers and open various cupboards and things and forget to close them. So it ends up a mess. And then I tidy it up again and we repeat for the following week, yeah.
Nice, okay. Well, for those people who don't know you, how would you describe yourself as a photographer?
I'm not really sure. I'd like to say that I have quite a natural approach to photographing things, but I will say in the past few years that I've kind of got a little bit more involved in directing things and tidying things up and knowing that I'd spend half an hour editing that out in Photoshop. So, I guess it's quite a natural approach, maybe with a clean aesthetic.
Okay, and are you just weddings or do you do other things?
I do weddings and a lot of portraiture lately, which has been nice. So lots of engagement sessions, anniversary sessions, family portrait sessions. So.
Okay, so how did you get to the moment you are now in? Tell us your backstory.
I think I've always been a photographer since when I was a child, but I just took random photos of things that I liked, which is great. But somebody once pointed out to me that would be really hard to make your living. There's a nice picture of a cat or my mum or a door frame or something like that. So about 7-8 years ago when I was engaged, I started looking for a wedding photographer and was amazed at how very traditional and unfeeling British wedding photography industry was at the time. So I looked abroad, found incredible photographers that were charging the region of £5,000, which mortified my husband. And so I kept digging, found another lady who was incredible, who just did fashion mostly and a little bit of lifestyle, and asked her. So I started shooting probably in the year running up to my wedding, started offering out my services to friends for free, just for the experience. And then, shot my first proper wedding 2 weeks before we got married ourselves 6 years ago and kind of took it from there.
Okay, let's fill in some gaps then. What did you study at school, university?
Wow, I actually did languages. I did A-levels in English, Spanish, media and film. And then I went to university and did Spanish and Portuguese and dropped out after 4 months. I worked at Sky doing editorial things, which I found really boring, moved abroad, moved home again, took a friend's maternity leave as a picture editor, and was doing that, I think, for about 4 years. And two of those years overlapped with me starting my photography business. So yeah, I kind of concentrated on that after 2 years of running them concurrently. It was kind of 7 day weeks through the summer and really full on. So I decided after 2 years that something had to give, and it was my picture editing job.
Yeah, and what was it then that kind of made that transition for you, where you were taking more pictures, not just of your mum and your cat and the door frame, and you were thinking, yeah, I might want to do this as a profession?
I think it was probably the satisfaction that I found in photographing weddings. It's an incredible occasion to be a part of. Everyone looks amazing. They feel good about themselves. They're happy. They're surrounded by their, surrounded by their nearest and dearest. So that was kind of quite a high. It was like having a backstage pass at a gig. It was amazing. So I didn't really have the same kind of feeling. As much as I love my job as a picture editor, it wasn't quite the same thing. And I also started to travel a lot, which was really eating into my annual leave. So I went down to 4 days as a picture editor at my picture editing job. And in the end, I kind of felt a bit resentful going to work on a Monday morning instead of editing the wedding I just shot. So it was quite an easy decision, actually, after 2 years.
Yeah, so it wasn't any trepidation about making that leap and leaving sort of a steady job to something that, you know, might have its pitfalls?
Yeah, I think everything has its pitfalls. I think travelling an hour on the train to get to work across town, city London, kind of was a pitfall for me, versus getting in the car and driving to the Cotswolds and spending a day in a field. That was, I don't know, it just had a larger draw, I guess. But it's tricky to decide that you want to quit something that is so stable and become freelance, which is probably why I ended up doing both for 2 years, until I built enough of a portfolio and felt confident and that I'd learnt enough in order to be able to run my business full time.
And while you were doing the job as a picture editor, what sort of things did you learn from that? Or did you learn anything from that that you took into how you photograph things now?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm quite a visual person. I like a clean aesthetic. So with my picture editing role, I guess choosing arresting images that told the story. I was just editing this morning and was thinking about how crucial the edit is. So not only when you're composing and making sure you've got your exposure right and the image how you want it, but also kind of re-delivering that story is absolutely essential. So definitely picture editing helped me so much.
So when you photograph a wedding, are you documentary style or do you direct quite a lot?
I guess there are parts of the day where I'm documentary style and other parts where I direct. So for getting ready in the morning, sometimes I turn up and it looks like a hurricane has been through the room, and I like quite clean images, so I'll do a bit of tidying up. And so I hope you don't mind, girls, I'm leaving everything over here where I can't see it. I tend to shoot a lot with a preference towards natural light, so that obviously has quite a large impact on how I shoot. But for, I guess, moments where things are just naturally happening throughout the day, like a ceremony, obviously I don't direct anything, apart from perhaps ask the bride and groom to come slowly when they put their rings on, to have a minute to capture that, and to look up as they come up and down the aisle, because sometimes they don't. But for speeches and things, those really natural, beautiful moments where things are just happening, I like to just be there and kind of cream it all off without having to direct anything.
Yeah. All right, then. So what inspires your work? What things have you taken from the years that have inspired what you do now?
I think I'm quite a nostalgic, sentimental kind of person. Our home is covered in photos. I really don't like not being able to remember things, which is why I think I take so many photos. I guess I'm inspired by happy moments, beautiful moments, occasions where people express themselves and say, I really love you, I'm so proud of you, what an incredible day. Because I don't think as Brits we really do that kind of lovey-dovey stuff, whereas you get that quite a bit during speeches. I really love shooting in good light. Absolutely essential. It's so cheesy, light and love.
Any particular people that have inspired you?
I'd say my grandfather, definitely. He was our family photographer. He always had his camera with him, always. It was a great privilege if granddad let you hold his camera and take a picture. And the last photo ever taken of him I took, which I hold quite dearly. And also clients quite often are inspiring. The ones that just trust me and say, we really like your work. We don't need to give you an Excel spreadsheet list of a million and one things to photograph. Just do your job. We trust you. Those are always the weddings where I feel the most proud of my work, because I'm not being held to a Pinterest checklist of all the different things they might like. So, yeah, I'm inspired by people that just like my work and just let me get on with my job.
What did you learn from your granddad about photography?
Gosh, I don't know what I learned. He died when I was 12. So what did I learn? Always have your camera with you, I think, is what I learned from granddad. And to look after your kit. So I have a couple of his Voigtlander cameras here, which are beautiful. Yeah, and also looking at some of the work, we've recently been through all the family photos, some of his personal photos. Try and make yourself invisible if you can, because I have no recollection of granddad taking the majority of our photos, and some of them are really poignant, beautiful captures that sum us up entirely as a family.
Who's been your biggest influence on your career or life?
From a personal perspective, I think my husband. He bought me my first full-frame camera as just a random present one day, and I burst into tears and gave it back to him because we weren't married, and it felt like a lot to give someone such a huge gift. So yeah, he's definitely been my biggest fan. He does get a bit sick of watching my slideshows now, though, I must admit. You know, how many years am I in? Six years in? Yeah. And aesthetically, I'd say Jose Villa, because his work is just so beautiful. And I think he directs a lot. He has an image in mind before he goes to take it. So that's something I try and keep in mind a bit more of my own work.
What does your husband do for a job?
Oh, my husband is a carpenter builder by trade, and he works for an insulation company, and he takes no photos ever on his phone. It's just a series of snapshots of instructions and directions. So yeah, we're quite different.
So apart from buying you a camera, has he had any sort of other influence on your work? Does he get involved with, does he look at your work and say, I really like that?
No, not really, no. But to be fair, I don't
dump him.
I don't go through his construction manuals and say, oh, I love that, K12 insulation. So I have to cut him some slack. He did come and assist me in my first few destination weddings. I was terrified of driving on the other side of the road, and he came to do my driving, bag carrying. But he's Australian, and he really likes to have a drink at a wedding, and I don't think that's appropriate when I'm photographing a wedding. So, yeah, he doesn't often come with me anymore to destination weddings. Or if he does, he comes and drives me and leaves me to it and comes and picks me up at the end of the night. But I think just having that initial, here's a camera, I think you could do this, was huge, because that was a massive financial investment. And photography isn't a cheap habit to have if it's just a hobby. So I think that was his kind of his seal of approval, and that it helped me no end.
Yeah, so he's that support mechanism for you.
I think so.
And are you the sort of person, you said always have your camera with you is something that you learned from your granddad. Are you the sort of person who does always take a camera with you wherever you go? Do you ever have a break from it?
Probably 8 out of 10 times I've got something that I'm taking photos of. So, yeah, I like to shoot medium format film for my personal work, which means I'm not always just firing off 1,000 frames. I'm often kind of thinking, do I want this? Focusing it and then going, no, actually, I don't want that image. So, yeah, if I don't have my contacts with me, then I sometimes have a little silly Instax, the Fujifilm Instax, like kind of credit card size images. They're fun. And my iPhone as well, as much as that sounds like a cardinal sin, I really enjoy using my iPhone for kind of little snapshots. And I must admit, if I'm out of an evening, I'm going to have that with me and not my great big contacts or Canon.
Yeah, I recently bought a second-hand Canon AE-1. Uh-huh. And I started to shoot some film on that. And I think it does make you be a lot more selective with what you shoot, because you've only got 36 shots. And you know, when I was growing up, I had film cameras, but you just kind of shot whatever then when you were a kid. But yeah, do you find that using film makes you more selective in your digital work?
I definitely think it has helped me curate my work a little bit more. I guess when I first started out, I didn't have any formal photography training. So I did a little bit of kind of spraying and praying, but I got everything. I was shooting in aperture priority, not fully understanding shutter speeds and apertures and ISOs. But obviously through the years, editing 5,000 photos from a wedding, that's a lot of work. And it's also a huge volume of images to be delivering to your clients. So I guess for my average wedding, I probably shoot somewhere in the region of 1,000, 1,200 images. So that's definitely come down since I started shooting film. And also for weddings, I shoot a lot of film portraiture. So obviously with 16 images per roll, you do slow down a little bit and you do think, oh, I've got 2 images left on this roll. Let me just make sure these frames are really good ones. So yeah, I think it's definitely honed the way I shoot, yeah.
Yeah, do you find you're able within a wedding, which is quite fast moving scenario, to actually take that time? And do you find it's useful to take that time if you're shooting on film to actually just take a little breather and frame the shot and say, right, this is what we're going to do?
Yeah, ultimately, I think I would like a full-time assistant that is at my shoulder, always with a new contact, fully loaded, with settings already dialed in. But whilst I don't have that full-time assistant, I think it does help me slow down a bit and to kind of be still. I did a film photography workshop a few years ago with Feather and Stone Photography in France. And the one thing I really felt like they taught me above everything else is just how to be still. They're hilarious, absolutely hilarious people. But when they shoot, they're really calm and composed, and they kind of bring this air of calm and still to their work. And I think you can really see it in their art. So, yeah, they kind of taught me that you don't have to be the clown running around and making everyone kind of like, you know, crease up laughing. You can create some really beautiful, romantic, still moments if you kind of bring that with you.
Yeah. What parts of you do you think are in your photography?
Oh, I'm a dread to think. I don't know. I'm a bit of a class clown at times. I like people to relax. I like happy moments. So if I have to kind of lure a couple into relaxing and creating a happy moment, then I will do. I don't know what else is in me. I'm quite sentimental, as I said. So sometimes I look at details that maybe other people wouldn't see as being so important, but stand out to me as something that kind of is really relevant to the day. So yeah, I guess some sentimentality, some laughter, perhaps.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so let's move on to our next question. And what excites you?
I like to be appreciative of what life offers. It's not always sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns. Sometimes life's really hard and difficult and you have tough times. So recently I shot some portraits for a friend of mine that's been through a really tough time with her family, and I offered to do so because I thought it could be quite nice for her to look back at a really tough time and to remember that actually there were some really happy moments there too. I'm not sure she realised that's what I was doing, but it was kind of almost like an apology and an offering of sorts for the stuff that she'd been going through to provide those portraits. So I guess what excites me is maybe giving people happy memories and things to look back on in the years to come. And I don't imagine that they look back at their photos and go, oh, do you remember that afternoon we spent running around Richmond with Chloe? I imagine they look at that photo, or their grandchildren will look at that photo and say, oh, wow, look how cool you were, Grandma. Or wasn't your hair curly just like my hair's curly, that kind of thing. So I think, what excites me and inspires me is kind of leaving a photographic memory, really.
Yeah, it's really nice. Consequently then, what scares you?
Oh, gosh. Losing memory cards or unrolling rolls of film that have already been exposed, which I've done the latter. Unfortunately, there's a long lead on a roll of 120, so I was fine and saved. But yeah, I think what terrifies me is going too fast and being too manic and being too much of a clown and making sure everyone's happy all the time and therefore not really concentrating properly on what I do. So I actually have a checklist of things on the back of my contacts. When I'm shooting film, I can take a breath and remember to make sure I get all these things done. So I do get quite carried away sometimes, especially in some really good light, a couple of gorgeous subjects. I'm like a kid in a candy shop. So trying to remember to be still and not be overwhelmed and excited and kind of a bit frantic when I'm shooting.
Nice. Right, everyone's favourite question so far, I've found. What's your favourite swear word? And when you deliver it to me, I want you to deliver it with meaning.
Oh my gosh. Do you know, I don't actually swear that much. I was brought up as a very strict Christian, and I am still quite a strict Christian. So the worst you probably get out of me is maybe a bloody hell. I was actually shooting a wedding in May with my Australian friend who was assisting, and we came to this beautiful chateau and the light was incredible, and I said, bloody hell. And she's like, wow, that was after the wedding. She's like, wow, that was really kind of a bit chavvy of you, because I don't often hear you talking like that. But it just, it came out. It was an amazing space and I wasn't expecting it to be that beautiful. So yeah, that's as bad as you're going to get from me, I'm afraid. Sorry.
Okay, that's very very reserved of you, and your parents would be proud. If you could be anything else for a day, what would you be?
I would be a jazz singer, I think. Yeah, I don't really sing, but in my mind, I'd have been like an Ella Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Just
for my benefit, give us some jazz hands there.
Jazz hands?
Yeah. Oh, very good. You'd be like a very good jazz singer.
I think so. Thanks.
Trust me, everyone listening. I might screenshot that and put that on the Facebook page. Okay, who, living or dead, would you love to photograph?
That's a really good question.
Thanks, I thought so.
Yeah, I think it probably would be my granddad, I think, yeah. I went through a set of questions with my husband. I found this article about how to fall in love with someone, and it's 30-something questions that you're meant to ask them. So we did it whilst we were on holiday for our anniversary. Not that I'm not in love with him, but I don't know what his answers would be. And he asked me if I could have dinner with anyone, dead or living, who would it be? And I said, my grandfather. So, yeah, I think it would probably be him, maybe. I took his last photo. If I had the opportunity again, I think I don't. I'd maybe take it a bit differently now.
Yeah. Do you think he'd tell you that you were doing it wrong?
Yeah. I had an Italian Jewish grandmother. And, my grandparents, my granddad actually was really supportive and always very positive and encouraging, probably to counteract my grandma, who knew everything about everything. She was our beloved matriarch. He was always really very proud and very encouraging. So, yeah.
Do you still use his cameras?
I must admit, I've had the Canon and the Voigtlander service, but I haven't just yet. I kind of feel like I need some time when things are really peaceful and quiet and I can just go out and shoot my own personal project. And yeah, I haven't. No, it's terrible. They're sat on the shelf behind me. But no, I haven't used them of late anyway.
It'd be nice to, I'm not much of a believer in that sort of spiritual things, but it'd be nice if you found that you could sort of channel some of his energy through them, or his sort of visions.
Yeah, I think what would be amazing is just to think some of the photos that I have at home that we have in our family albums were taken with those cameras. I like that. They were up in my grandma's attic and I pilfered them and had them serviced, and now they're just sitting on the shelf. So yeah, you're right, I should use them.
Yeah, I've got my grandparents' camera that's sat on a shelf behind me just here. It's a Vera and it's got a Zeiss lens, and I've used it, and the lens is incredibly sharp still, and it's about 60 years old, probably. Wow. At least.
Amazing.
And yeah, there's pictures of them two together that would have been taken with that camera that are in our family, and obviously pictures of my mum and her twin sister on family holidays that were taken with that camera. So it's really nice that I've got that camera, and that it's still amazingly good, and it works really well.
So. I do wonder if our Canons and our Nikons will still function like our grandparents' equipment. I think there's going to be a lot of engineered obsolescence. You know, they give you, I don't know how many actuations, and then they know that you're going to have to upgrade to the latest version.
Yeah, I think with digital cameras now, because everything is controlled by computers, then those things have a certain shelf life, don't they? But the old cameras that were made with actual moving parts, they tend to keep on going. Right, what would be your advice to another photographer, whether they are just starting out in the business or whether they are thinking about quitting a full-time job? And
I would say invest in some really good kit. Don't let it bankrupt you. I was fortunate with my full-time job that I was able to continue living in London with that salary and reinvest everything that I earned from the business back into the business. So I had a really good set of kit to start with. So invest in some good kit, shoot everything in all sorts of different circumstances, shoot for yourself, and I don't know, what other advice would I give? To be confident, I think, And to not worry about what everyone else is doing, because that sometimes can be a bit stifling to look and say, oh my gosh, that person's doing this and I didn't think to do that, and they get to travel here or they get to shoot this kind of client. You don't often see the obstacles they've had to overcome, or the jobs they didn't get, or the clients that weren't happy. So don't worry about what everyone else is doing, just do your thing.
It's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, sometimes it can be, I guess. Yeah, I just think we only really get to see all the great stuff.
Yeah.
If anybody knows me as a photographer, they'll know that I'll tell them my not great stories, because I think it's really helpful to know that it's not all fantastic all the time, and to know that there's the reality that you're running a small business being self-employed, and yeah, it comes with pros and cons.
Yeah, but I think that's good advice in itself to photographers, is to show people the great stuff and not show everyone the rubbish stuff, because I think a lot of people, when they start out being photographers, they put every picture they've ever taken on Facebook or wherever they're sharing their pictures. It's actually, the trick is to be selective and put just the good ones on Facebook so that people go, actually, you're a really good photographer.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, we all have to edit. I remember seeing pictures of Beyonce performing. She's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And the images of her performing are incredible. And there are some truly awful pictures of her gurning. She looks like a bodybuilder. It's all in the edit. So if we were to see, I don't know, 1,000 images of Beyonce performing, they're kind of worthless. But if you get those key ones where she looks incredible, I'm sure that's what her and her PR company are focusing on, as opposed to all the outtakes. And I think that's quite important also when you're delivering to clients. Often you'll have clients say, can we see everything that you shoot on the day? I would never, ever hand over everything, because there will be ones where you have your eyes half open, half closed, where you've got a huge double chin, which you don't actually have, you're just pulling in at that angle, or where your arms look like ham hocks, and actually women are really funny about their arms, and you don't have ham hock arms. But I think the edit's absolutely essential.
Excellent. Chloe, that is the end officially of your grilling. Thank you so much for sharing so much with us. My final question, though, is who else should I be interviewing? If you were listening to this podcast, which other photographers would you love to hear from?
I would love to hear, there are so many, I'd say Michelle M. Waite. She's incredible. She's out in Bellingham over in the States. Her work was so inspiring for me when I started getting into the industry. She's been going now for 14, maybe 15 years, and I still love her work. She's incredible. So definitely Michelle. In the UK, my personal favourites are Anne Catherine Cock. She's lovely, absolutely hilarious. English is not her mother tongue, and yet she's got a wicked sense of humour, so she'd be a great one to interview. David Jenkins, his work's beautiful. Anushi Lowe, Sarah Gula, gosh, there are tons. Emma Secon shot my wedding. She's absolutely adorable. She's Swedish. So yeah, that's six, I think.
Yeah, well, that'll keep me busy chasing all those. But I will chase them, and we'll mention your name to them, and they will remember the famous Chloe.
Don't know about humans, but thanks.
Well, thank you very much again. Before you go, tell people where they can find you, your website, Instagram, all that sort of stuff.
Okay, well, I chose a really ridiculous conceptual name. I'm Caught the Light. Not Caught as in county, not Delight as in Turkish. CaughtTheLight.com, and I'm the same on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. In hindsight, it was a really bad choice, but I'm quite stubborn, so I didn't feel that I could convert to Chloe Brown Photography. And also, lots of the time people don't spell Chloe correctly, or Brown. My brand has an E, so I'm stuck with Caught the Light.
Excellent. Thank you very much, and maybe one day we'll chat again.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you.
Well, Chloe mentioned Anne Catherine Cock at the end there, and she was the subject of last week's episode. If you want to listen to her, do subscribe and give us a rating on iTunes or wherever you're listening to Phototypes. It really does help other people find us as well. If you're enjoying Phototypes, say hello on Instagram, Facebook or Twitter, all at Phototypes Pod. And you can find me, Matt Bowen, at theretreat.co on Instagram.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.